Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome. It is July 7th. You're in the clubhouse in Hawaii's Michelwee. Broke out yesterday shooting a 66 at Black Wolf Run, only 23 putts. Suzanne Paterson, she leads by one over Michelle and Christy Kerr. The two tall ones will tee off about 7:20 Hawaii time on NBC at 9 o'clock this morning in Hawaii. We'll be talking with Golf Week's executive editor, Ron Syrek. He is in what was a scorching Wisconsin. I understand it's cooled off by some 20 degrees in just a day, but there's a strong wind blowing. First, our sponsors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And gotta thank our messieurs Woods and Mickelson for missing the cut at Greenbrier this weekend. It really allows the U.S. Women's Open to be the main event in golf this weekend. And to talk about that, Golf World's executive editor, Ron Syrek, welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, the first thing I say to people is, Michelle, we had the 66, and she's doing really good. The next question is, how did Tiger Woods do? Did he make the cut? Well, it was interesting to see both Mickelson and Tiger Woods miss the cut at Greenbrier. And I don't understand, you know, Woods goes out and wins last weekend, looks to be in great form, and, you know, Golf World's major progress, question mark. Well, then he comes out and misses the cut. What do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, we're looking for some consistency with him. He won at Bay Hill, and then he was 40th in the Masters. Then he won at Muirfield Village, and he was 21st in the U.S. Open. You know, then he wins AT&T and misses the cut in the next tournament. We're looking for some consistency, and I think really all we really care about with him right now is how he does in the major championships, and because we're waiting to see if he gets that five that he needs to pass Jack Nicklaus's record of 18.
Exactly. Okay. Now, it seems that he's winning on courses he's very familiar with, and Greenbrier he hadn't played before.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you look at, between Bay Hill and Muirfield Village, he won 12 times there combined. And one of the fascinating stats in Tiger's career is that of his more than half of his victories come on six golf courses. And there were just some golf courses he can't play, and what he tends to do is stop playing those golf courses, like Riviera, like Hilton Head, and he just doesn't go back to them. Greenbrier might now become one of those.
Well, there was a lot of talk about appearance fees to both Mickelson and Woods. Is there any truth to that?
Well, it's what I'm hearing. I don't have any direct proof of it. The guy who runs the tournament seems to be saying that while appearance fees aren't legal on the PGA Tour, they've existed in some form out there. I mean, you can have personal service contracts. There are certainly cases where players have been told, hey, if you walk through our cocktail party on Tuesday night, we'll give you $100,000, you know. And that's not considered an appearance fee, but boy, it sure sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah, we call that appearance fees in the radio business. Okay. Now, how about the Open at Royal Lethem in St. Anne's? Is that a course he knows?
In fact, I was there in '96 when Tiger shot the round of golf that convinced Earl Woods that Tiger was ready to turn pro. It was, I believe it was the Saturday round, and Tiger went out and shot a 66, and that's when Earl said, "Okay, the kid's ready," and they waited for him to play his last U.S. Amateur, which he won, and then he turned. One of the things that Tiger can do at Royal Lethem is play it the way he did at Hoy Lake when he won there, which is leave the driver in the bag and just get two iron around the golf course.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's exciting golf when he does that. And speaking of exciting, we've got an awesome leaderboard at the U.S. Women's Open at Black Wolf Run. It was amazing how hot it was, though. I understand one media person actually succumbed to the heat on the first day.
We actually had three go down on the first day.
Wow.
And, yeah, I came in at one point, and there was a photographer just, you know, prone on the floor in the media room. And it was, you know, the temperature hit 100 degrees. The heat index was 115. And it was just, and this was not an easy golf course to walk. It was just flat out brutal out there. But as you were saying before, the front moved through. 20 degrees cooler temperatures came in right behind it. And with it, 20-mile-an-hour wind.
Wow. Okay. So a 20-mile-an-hour wind. That's going to change things. We've got this from Suzanne Peterson. She went into this, she's going into this third round. She tees off soon with a one-stroke lead over Michelle Wee and Christy Kerr. And she said that she couldn't understand why the Black Wolf run was so hard when she was looking at it. And frankly, that she likes the USGA setups.
It's usually the biggest test of golf throughout the year. I like the way USGA set up the courses. They make it tough. They make it fair. It's by far one of my favorite championships because of that. But this year, I mean, there are birdies out there. I probably shouldn't say this because we come out tomorrow and they're probably making it impossible. The course is playable. Just keep sticking to the game plan.
So is this course going to change drastically for these players?
There are very few birdies out there right now. I'm looking at the leaderboard right now, and I can see everybody is on the golf course except the final six players. I see four players who are under par right now, and nobody is more than one under on their round for the day. And of those people, the most advanced is Amy Yang, having played five holes. So it looks like... It looks like 72 is going to be a really, really good score out there today.
And so they're going to find out what all the hoopla was about, Black Run being a difficult course. That was all the talk before the event started. Can I backtrack for a second? When does the USGA or when does a golfing body decide that it's too hot to play golf? At what temperature?
You know, I've never seen that happen. I was talking to some people here about on Thursday in particular. The worst I ever experienced was 1994 Men's U.S. Open at Oakmont, and it was one of those things where it was about 94, 95 degrees, but the humidity was like off the charts every day. Historically, there was one in the Southern Hills in Tulsa in the late 50s that where the temperature was triple digits every day out there. As long as the golf course is playable, they're going to spend them out there. And, you know, USGA, these folks don't play lift, clean, and play. They're not going to stop playing for anything.
So. All right. As they all keel over, you know, let's cart them off. And you know, next, Michelle Wee. All right. This was awesome. I didn't get to see it because it wasn't on television for me. But from what I understand, she had 23 putts, and she talks about it now, something like 13 one putts. And that's really putting yourself in the right place on the green and then making the putt. So what did she do? I mean, it was so difficult to watch her putt for a long time. It was almost painful. What did she do to fix her putting game?
I went from the belly putter to, you know, the regular putter, and I haven't really changed putters since, you know, the early this year. And just been working on my confidence, really. I know my stroke is good when I look at it, you know, on the cameras or, you know, anytime I put a number on it, you know, it's perfect. So I have to trust it and, you know that I'm a good putter. And that's what I talk to Meg with a lot is, you know, that, you know, I think once everyone was like, oh, what's happening to putting, it kind of got to my head a little bit, and I just have to trust myself, and I know I'm a good putter, I have been a good putter, and I, you know, I can be.
Meg, is that Meg Mallon?
Yeah, Meg Mallon, who is the Solheim Cup captain, and she talked quite a bit with Meg about, basically it's what she said, it's not so much changing technique, it's just convincing yourself that you're a good putter, and look, we've seen Michelle struggle with the putter the entire time she's been out here, and the question today will be, will we see the person who had 23 putts on Friday or the person who had 35 putts on Thursday? Now Michelle will tell you, and she's right about this, she hit the ball closer to the hole on Thursday than she did on Friday. Today though, it's going to be hard to hit the ball close to the hole because of this wind.
Really? All right. So someone asked her during the post-round interview, how do you how do you fix your confidence? And I really liked what she said about that. How do you fix confidence?
You know, I worked quite a bit with PN Lin with Vision 54, and we worked on a lot of different little drills and stuff. Just believing in yourself, you know, even when you're kind of not playing well, I kind of try to, you know, look at the positives and at least bring out one positive, one good thing that you did, and just keep working on it.
I like that. It's kind of like when you tweeted, and you can follow Ron Cyrak, it's very easy. It's at Ron Cyrak on Twitter. You said there's got to be something positive about the weather, but I just can't think of something.
P.N. Lin believe, having written three books for P.N. Lin, I know quite a bit about Division 54 stuff, but one of the central components is that what you can achieve is limited by what you believe you can achieve. And they just teach you that over and over and over again. The whole idea, Vision 54, comes from the idea that if you birdied every hole, you'd shoot 54 on a par 72 golf course, and why not make that your goal instead of having par in every hole? I was very happy to see when Michelle started to work with PM Lin, because I do think that they are exactly what she needs, which is to get some belief back. And I have my own opinions about what happened to Michelle's confidence and Michelle's belief system. And I think PM Lin can help get her back to a very good place.
It almost sounds, when she said everybody was talking about her putting being off and she was starting to buy into it, I guess she reads as much as some people do. I was thinking of Tiger, about sometimes you need to close the books, not listen to anything people say, because that really can influence how you feel about yourself, and just turn it all off.
Exactly. There's probably nobody, that maybe her caddy, who saw Annika Sorenstam play more holes of golf than I did. And to me, what's really remarkable about as many golf tournaments as Annika Sorenstam won is that she was an average putter. And I told her once, annoyed her greatly. I said, if you cut it like Jack Nicklaus, you'd never lose a golf tournament, ever. You know, but that was the case. But Pia and Lin convinced Annika that she was a great putter. And Annika truly believed she was a great putter. And what she did is she made the putts she needed at the right time to win. And I think the same can happen for Michelle. She's not all of a sudden going to become Ben Crenshaw out there or Brad Faxon or Christy Kerr. But she can be somebody who goes out and has the confidence that she can make the putts that she needs at the time that she needs them.
Yeah. And the most recent book in the trilogy from Vision 54, co-authored by Ron Cyrak, is Play Your Best Golf Now. And I like what Dave Pelt says. I love Lin and Pia because they understand and teach that there is more to golf than swinging. You can't go wrong with Vision 54. We're going to take a break. Can we come back and talk about the amateurs and some of the other contenders in this USGA leaderboard we've got going on?
Okay,
thanks. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're in office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical. Keeping you cool.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. Ah, here's the local rule sign. keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And we're talking with Ron Syrak, executive editor, Golf World Magazine. He is at Black Wolf Run in Wisconsin for the USGA's U.S. Women's Open. Siri Park had something really interesting. She said, she made the cut. She shot a 72, 73, very nice. But she said, if you miss by a little, it causes a lot of trouble. And I couldn't help but think of Brittany Lincecum, Ron, who did so well in her first round. She was just effervescent, talking about the fish she'd caught and having such a great time, and only to come back and shoot an 80, dropping way down the leaderboard. How did that happen?
Yeah, you know, I think that what Siri said is exactly, it's right, and it's a characteristic of USGA setups and U.S. Open golf courses, which is they're very penalizing when you make mistakes. And I think what happened in the case of Brittany, it's one of those cases where mistakes compound mistakes, and once you get it going sideways, it's really hard to get it back on track. You don't have to miss by much to make big numbers on this golf course. Morgan Pressel made a 10 yesterday and then walked off the court. There's some very penalizing holes here.
Did Morgan hurt her thumb, or did you? I heard something about a thumb injury.
I think she hurt her feelings. But you sort of need a reason to withdraw from a golf tournament.
So, okay.
They don't like to just say, you can't say I lost interest.
No, that probably wouldn't go over big. It was interesting to see the amateurs who made the cut. Three of them. And there were some strong, I mean, Hawaii's Kyung Kim, she's the 2012 U.S. Women's Public Links champ. She missed. Shot a 77, came back with a 73, just not quite enough. Much expected from Mariah. Danielle got to Tutunga Garn, one of the two sisters, they're brilliant, but she didn't have a great day. But 15-year-old Lydia Ko, quite a champion, the youngest woman are in a professional event, from what I understand, was practicing at Gulf Harbor in New Zealand to get it all together. Quite the budding star internationally.
Yeah, I believe she won a tournament at the age of 14. It's remarkable. And, you know, this phenomenon that we're seeing of just younger and younger players is fascinating. And again, one of the things that I keep coming back to is I think that decades from now, when we look back on the Tiger Woods era, I think one of the impacts that we're going to see in both the men's game and the women's game is that he attracted a better quality of athlete to the game of golf. And I think that we're seeing more talented, that the people who are playing it are not just skilled as golfers, but they're skilled as athletes. And I think they're getting better training at an earlier age and just learning to win at ridiculously early age.
Yeah, it's a good time to teach it. I mean, a child doesn't believe there are any limitations. So if they start learning to win early, it becomes second nature. Of course I can. There's no doubt. Why would you doubt yourself? You've done it already. They're also really mature for their age. I was listening to Emma Talley. She's also in the mix. One of, I think this is her second U.S. Women's Open that she's been in, and she's 17? Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget who we have on our leaderboard right now. Lexi Thompson, who's 17 years old. She's, she's 31. She's one under today. She's two under. She's three strokes off the lead. She's already the youngest person to win an LPGA event. If she won here this week, she'd be the youngest person to win a major championship, male or female, in history. She would pass young Tom Morris's record by, I believe, 10 days.
I love how the stats are kept by 10 days. Yes. Lexi had a really good start, and then she said she had a roller coaster day the second day. What came apart?
Well, yeah, I mean, she just had one of those rounds where she couldn't make a par. You know, she's going like birdie, bogey all the way around. And I think it's, again, the word that you touched on here, maturity, is a great testimony just to how mature she is at the age of 17, that she never let that get her sideways and get her and doing what happened to Brittany Lincecum. And she was able to just make a bogey and then bounce back and make a birdie. And she just kept hanging in there. She was like one of those inflatable clowns that you punch and keep bouncing back up. You know, it was, and that's remarkable perseverance at that age.
All right, I have to ask about Yanni Sen. Here, she could have the career Grand Slam behind her if she could win a U.S. Women's Open. She said it was mental, partly, trying to win this particular event. Have you talked to her about that?
Yeah, you know, and I think, and they might admit that they made this mistake. They started talking about the career Grand Slam 3 years ago, you know, and that she would be younger than if she needs to do it. Here's the pressure that they put on her. She wanted to break Tiger Woods' record of Tiger was 24 when he completed the career Grand Slam in 2000. And they wanted her to do it at 23, a breakers record. And I think that that's just for the last couple of years put way too much pressure on her in this tournament. Now, that said, too, Yanni is in what we could call sort of a mini slump. She really hasn't played well. She won the Kia and the Founders Cup back-to-back, finished third in the Crafts Disco, and then really hasn't contended.
It's almost like you start worrying about what's coming up in the future. That U.S. Women's Open that could complete my career Grand Slam is just a couple months away. And I wouldn't want to live with that kind of that cloud over my head. I've got to achieve this. I liked her attitude. She said, I'm going to try not to think about that. That's kind of hard to do. I'm going to have fun. And that really, when she's smiling and she's having fun, she's in control of her game, and that's really the only way you can play is when you're having a good time. Otherwise, it's anytime you make a mistake, it's a multiplier effect. You can't possibly have a good time.
And, it's funny. One of the components that in Vision 54 that he and Lynn talk about all the time is to learn what you can control and what you can't control. And one of the things that you can't control is winning. You can control the elements that lead to winning, like good balance, good tempo, good focus, and commitment to shot, but you can't control winning. And I think that Yanni let her mind get ahead of herself on that. She was thinking about the win rather than focusing on those things that contribute to the win.
I like that. Good thoughts. Now, a huge announcement was made before the U.S. Women's Open began. And it was Meg Mallon, the 2013 Solheim Cup captain. She took charge of the situation, and I have her here. She, in effect, reunited Dottie Pepper with the LPGA. She was named an assistant captain by Mallon on Wednesday. And this all comes, maybe you can, before we hear from Meg Mallon and her announcement, do we want to talk about what Dottie said? I always feel like, why would we bring it up again? But at the same time, it would explain to people who don't know what the whole problem was.
Yeah, it was the 2007 Solheim Cup in Halmstad, Sweden. I was there for that, and it was a Saturday alternate shot match. And the two Americans, Sherry Steinhauer and Laura Diaz, were kicking the match away. In fact, they lost two of the last three holes. They lost 16 and 18 to have a match that they should have won. And it was a very, very important half point there. Dottie was working for Golf Channel. She thought she was in break. She thought the microphone was off. And she turned to the person she was sitting with and called Steinhauer and Laura Diaz choking freaking dog. And it got out. And
okay.
The American team was furious.
Oh.
And it's been taking people 5 years to forgive her, and some people haven't forgiven her.
Haven't forgiven her still. And this is Dottie Pepper, the sports commentator. She could hardly contain the raw emotion of that moment.
I don't know if there's a broadcaster in sports, maybe not even in sports in general, that hasn't said something that they regret saying, whether it was intended for air or not. I also feel reasonably comfortable that I reached out to that team immediately as soon as I knew that had happened. I reached out through the LPGA to get a message that they could put my head on a plate that night if they so cared to. And I felt like I did the right thing. And there was definitely a lot of hurt in both directions. I've had a number of players reach out to me, some very upset, some not, some with a bit of a joke in their voice. But there's not a day really that goes by that I don't regret that it happened. And we all learn.
Yeah, and everybody makes mistakes, as you said. These things sometimes can't be helped. And this is the Solheim Cup captain, Mallon, about Dottie Pepper and why the choice of Pepper as an assistant captain is so critical, and we'll have that for you right now.
This is why I want Dottie back into the fold as well. She, you know, arguably was the face of the Solheim Cup in the 90s and carried that, you know, carried it very well and wore her red, white, and blue on her sleeve and unabashedly patriotic, which was fantastic. So, nine Solheim Cups I've been a part of, and it's so many great memories for every one of them, and that's why I love watching it through the young players' eyes and seeing that, and I can't wait for Dottie to be in that locker room and see it from that perspective to remember what that was like representing your country.
Ron, what do you think Dottie brings to the team?
I don't think there's anybody who is both more passionate, more patriotic than Dottie. I mean, she's all about red, white, and blue out there. I talked to Mickey Walker, who was the captain of the first four European Solheim Cup teams, and the Americans won the first one. They lost the second one. Then the third one was played at the Greenbrier, and Mickey told me when she got there that week and she saw the look in Dottie Pepper's eye, she knew that the Europe didn't have a chance. Dottie was not going to let them lose. Dottie's the person who, in 1998, Annika Sorenstam and Laura Davies bought a punching bag and put Dottie's face on it for the team room so that the Europeans could go in and punch Dottie in the face. That's what she brings to the competition. She's as intense of a competitor as I've ever seen. And she's going to be a great Solheim Cup captain one day, and this was the first step in that direction by being an assistant captain.
When do you think that'll happen?
I think that the next captain will be Julie Inkster in 15, and then I think we'll see Dottie in 17.
So that would be when the cup is played back in the United States again?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. So how's it looking on the course right now? I don't have the leaderboard in front of me. Anybody making?
Well,
yes.
The only person, Na-Yeon Choi, has started out birdie, and it's third place now at -3, one behind Michelle and two behind Pedersen. Na-Yeon is the best player in the world that nobody's really heard of. She's won five times out here. She's 23 years old, and she's, I think, number four in the Rolex rankings right now. Because she's sort of been in Yanni's shadow for the last couple of years, people haven't paid much attention to her. But she's also another Vision 54 student.
Well, that says it all, doesn't it? I like the philosophy. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Danielle, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Where do you go next?
Let's see. I'm going home next.
Okay. Yay, home.
I don't have a tournament for a little while.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one.
back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back into the clubhouse, where we've been talking about the weather someplace else in the world. It's going to be partly sunny in Hawaii. It's going to be windy, and we'll have a lot of rain over the Windward and Mauka areas, with scattered showers in the afternoon and isolated showers on the leeward side. So it's going to rain, and it's going to be sunny, and it's going to be windy. A little bit of everything, depending on where you live, like it usually is, yeah? All right, we've got a great gentleman. Speaking of Royal Lytham and St. Anne's, that's in the Liverpool area of England. And checking in with us now is a gentleman we got to know a couple years ago, John Hoskinson. He is a British PGA player. He was on the European Tour and on the Senior European Tour, played as well. I think he hurt his knee and then went out and won an event a year later just testing it. Welcome in the clubhouse, John Hoskinson.
Daniel, great to be here. Lovely to be back.
Yeah. And now, what event did you go play in where you were testing out your knee to see if it was ready for tournament play?
I played in the British Senior Professional Championships this year, and it was basically 6 months after I had a knee operation. And I literally was testing it out. I hardly hit a ball in those 6 months, and it was just to see if I could stand up for 18 holes. But it went well, and I finished off all right, yeah.
just to see if you could walk 18 holes. And, you know, people don't think about it, but the stress of competition, in addition to a physical problem, like a knee being out or something like that, it really adds to the strain and the wear and tear on your body. And after 18 holes, it wrings you out. It really does.
Yes, it does. I was very fortunate that the knee injury was a very specific one. It was a tear in the cartilage, which I'd done putting up a golf net in the garden for my son. And when the surgeon went in, he was actually able to repair it. So as long as I was careful with it and gave it enough time to recuperate properly, then it proved to be all right. So I was very fortunate that I didn't have any sort of extra damage to it. Very lucky.
So you've been playing for how long?
Well, in my life?
Yes.
Oh, I started very young. My grandfather gave me a club when I was 5 years old, and fortunately taught me a good grip. So when I gravitated towards it later on in my teens, I had basically built up some fairly strong fundamentals, so I was able to play golf pretty well from a young age.
And you've been teaching for about 40 years?
For a long time. I've always been associated with teaching golf. That is a long time.
Yeah, John, I got the feeling you're not going to tell me how old you are, and I won't ask.
No, that's public knowledge. I'm 54 because I hit the seniors 4 years ago, so anybody can look that one up.
Okay. All right. You've come out with a good book. I like this. A Golf Swing You Can Trust, by John Hoskinson. You can find it. Can we go? And I found that when I went to iTunes and looked for it, I could get it free. What are you getting?
It bounces around. I think it's free on Amazon.com at the moment. And it's just, I leave the marketing to other people. Sometimes they put it on free, and but I believe it is at the moment, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you go now. I really, yes. I haven't been able to read the entire book. And I found that it's not something you want to read in its entirety. You need to digest each of these lessons that you provide. And I like your introduction. It starts with, if you want to improve your golf swing, but no matter what you try, you don't hit the ball better, then read this introduction. I was immediately captivated. Okay, fine. I got to read this. This is going to teach me something. What you taught me immediately was something that we kind of make fun of Tiger Woods for saying this. The process, it's a process. But you teach people that if you're going to make a change in your swing, you've got to give it time, right?
Yeah, that is absolutely so crucial. And it's a mistake I made as a young boy. My father is a very intelligent man. He taught me the fundamentals of golf along with my grandfather, but he wanted me to have a really good lesson when I was young. And he took me to the best teacher in Europe, John Jacobs, and he taught half the Ryder Cup squad. This guy was the top man. And he made an adjustment to my stance because I had a little fade. I used to hit it from left to right. I was very straight, but I was underpowered. And I went along that morning. I was so excited, and he explained to me that all I had to do was move the ball back in my stance a little bit, move my head to the right, and just go and play. And I was so excited. I went to my golf club in the afternoon, and I stood up on the first tee, and I did exactly what he'd asked me to do. And my ball, instead of taking off left and cutting, it started off on a better line, slightly to the right, but then it cut further right and went out of bounds. And I did it again, and I did it on the second tee. And Daniel, I thought, he's got it wrong. He must have it wrong. And 10 years of graft, of bleeding hands on the European Tour, eventually I woke up and realized that he was right, and I just hadn't given it time. The bottom line was, he had altered the line of my swing, but my hand action stayed the same. It needed time to grow, and I wasted all those years. And then eventually when I understood, I moved back, I did the head position, I did the ball position, and Bob's your uncle, I started to hit the ball much better. You have to give these things time. And that's the problem for golfers in general. You know, they get a bit impetuous. They're going to try something out, and they want to see results straight away. But it just doesn't happen like that.
All right, so he showed you how to where your stance should be and where your aim should be. But what you're saying is that your hands were doing the way they had been doing previously.
Yeah, basically, your hand action gets grooved. If you're coming in from outside the line, a typical slicer's attack on the ball, your hands get used to keeping the blade of the club open through impact. Now, to change the line so you come in on the line that somebody wants to draw the ball from the inside, you could do that virtually straight away to any club golfer. But their hand action needs time to adjust. So if I adjusted a golfer's line into the ball and gave him a great line to be able to hit a draw, he'd still actually cut the ball until his hands realized, hang on a second, we no longer have to hold the blade open through the ball. We can actually let it close over now, but that takes time. And it's the problem, because amateur golfers and pros tend to throw the towel in too early. They don't persevere through that barrier when their hands have actually learned a new role, a new task.
All right.
So, and that's tough.
Yeah, well, you have in chapter one, you have this great interaction between the body and the hands. You know, the hands feeling a bit trembly last night, you know, late night. And the body says, well, how's the club face aiming? And the hands, it's a really good interaction in your book, and it's A Swing You Can Trust. John Hoskison, Hoskison. And you can find it at iTunes. We've got The Importance of the Grip. Now, I want to go into this because you say something very key in the beginning, and that is a lot of great golfers, you know, they think they're great, and they may be pretty good, but they're not going to get any better unless they figure out that, indeed, the grip is important. They tend to think, I know that, right?
Absolutely. The fundamental, if you look at any golf book, or you go to have a lesson, the first thing the pro or the book says is basically it talks about the grip. It is the most important thing you can have if you want to build a swing you can trust. But it takes time for the swing to adjust to it. And if you think, oh, well, people grip the golf club differently. Ben Hogan has a one-knuckle grip and Bernard Langer has a three-knuckle grip. How can the grip be important? But it's actually not the way you place your hands on the club that's vital. What is important is that irrespective of the type of grip, whether it's a weak or a strong grip, your arms must hang naturally down from your shoulders. And the problem is most people grip the club and don't realize that, and it affects in the chain reaction, the takeaway, the plane, everything to do with the swing. So there's a fail-safe. If you took a club golfer and stood them to the ball, and then simply said, right, lift up your arms to shoulder height and have a look at your arms. Can you balance a club across them? If the club would fall off to the left, the golfer's setting up for a slice. And if it would fall off to the right, He's setting up to draw the ball. And I teach so many people who beg for me to get rid of their slice. And I would say that 9 out of 10 of them, if they lifted up their arms, the club would fall off to the left. And all they've got to do is just make that adjustment, and their whole golf swing becomes simple. But it is such a small thing. People disregard it as something that, well, how can it be that important? But it is, and it's the basic fundamental.
Okay, we're talking with the author of A Golf Swing You Can Trust, John Huskisson. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose? That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
And would you like to play around? There's a tee time at McKenna at 9:36, 10:40, and 11:28 on Oahu at Ko'olina, where Preferred Mechanics and Hawaiian Telcom are going out to play, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. There's a 9:28, an 11:30, and a 12 o'clock. Royal Hawaiian has a 10:40, 11:10, 11:40. At Poipu, there's a 9:30 and a 10:40, and the Hall Party is going to go out and have some fun on the course today. We're talking in the clubhouse now with John Huskisson. A Golf Swing You Can Trust is the book he's written. He's been teaching for 40 years. He's been playing since 5 when they put a club in his hand. He's made a lot of mistakes playing the game, because that's how you learn, I think. I've come to that conclusion. Unless you can trust your swing from an early age. Here are the lessons. Lesson 1 is club head aim. Lesson 2 is the importance of the grip. Lesson 3, you can't beat a good takeaway. Lesson 4, the wrist hinge. Okay? Lesson 5 is the shoulder turn. Lesson 6, top of the backswing. Then comes lesson 7, which is the downswing, anchoring the head. Then comes lesson 8, anchoring the bottom half of the body. Lesson 9, hitting through the shot. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because I like the sound of that. I don't know why, but I have a feeling I understand it, even though I haven't read the chapter. Tell us about lesson number 9, hitting through the shot.
Basically, when a golfer is coming in to hit the ball, we're not very good at guiding the club head. What we need to do is let a natural centrifugal force guide the club head into the ball for us. So really, on a good downswing, you're starting it off, but then hoping that normal, natural, physical forces hit through the shot for you. And what I basically saying before that, with anchoring the head and anchoring the lower half of the body, what I do is I use an analogy, and we used to have a very famous guy in England called Robin Hood, and he used to be great at shooting bow and arrow. And I was really making an analogy between firing an arrow from a bow. If you have the top half and the bottom half of the bow held nice and firm, it's easy to shoot the arrow accurately. But if the top half or the bottom half moves as you pull the arrow back, you've got no chance of hitting the target. So in order to invoke hitting through the ball in the easiest possible way, if you anchor the top half, the head, and keep it still on the downswing, and you have your left foot turned not too much open, more at right angles to the hole, it holds the body firm and it allows centrifugal force to fire the club through the ball in the most natural way, rather than us having to guide it, which we're not very good at. So the whole concept, really, Danielle, is to try to get the club releasing naturally without us getting in the way.
Yes. Without us getting in the way. Without us thinking about it too much.
Let it happen. As long as you've done one or two correct things at the beginning of the downswing, very easy things, just keeping the head at the right angle, everything should happen naturally. We get pulled through to the finish in a lovely finish position. We have nothing that we have to do technically difficult on the way through. We just let it go. Great. Right.
Yes. Now, this is where we're going to go back, because a lot of people, okay, I'm going to let it go, but how do I know where to? And I a lot of times when I see, you know, how I'm going to aim, I want, that's my target over there, I want to go there, but I'll line up my club face with the ball, and it doesn't look right. I don't trust it. But you have a really cool way of figuring out how to set that club face so that it'll come into contact with the ball, and the ball, technically, if you can trust your swing, will go to the target.
That's it.
Now, tell me how that lineup works.
Well, in the you mentioned before, I was having a fun conversation between the hands and the body in the address position of a golfer. And basically what happens is you stand to the ball, and unless you have the club face and your body synchronized, then you've got problems. Because stay on a 250-yard shot. If your club face is just 3 degrees out, it'll be aiming 13 yards to the left or right of the target. And the problem is, if your body picks that misalignment up, then it effectively won't let you swing the club as you want to. It takes over. And it puts it on the swing almost on autopilot, and you've got no chance of being able to interrupt it. So what I'm saying is, somehow, you've got to get the club face and your body synchronized. And the easiest way to do that, really, and I know it sounds incredibly fundamental, but if you draw a line on the ball and you aim it at the target, which you can do on every single tee shot and even on putting on the green, and then you line up your club face to that, as long as you make sure that your arms are level, you've cracked it. You're going to be aiming right down the line, and you're in a position that you can make a nice, smooth one-piece takeaway. But I reckon if I look at 9 out of 10 golfers I teach, only 2 of them will probably have that alignment correctly. And you see it. They're desperate to make a really nice takeaway, but if they've got that alignment wrong, their body's going to take over and they won't be able to do their nice swing. So alignment is so basic. Even Jack Nicklaus, every year he used to go back to Jack Grout just to check those basic fundamentals. And if the average amateur golfer could just spend a little bit of time making sure they lined up the ball at the hole and their club face with the line, they've cracked it.
Now, you said it's okay for you to draw a line on the ball and line it up with a club face. You mean in competition I could do that too?
Yeah, if you look at the pros now putting on the putting green, nearly everyone has a line drawn across the ball, which they line up with where they want to hit the ball. Well, you can do that on the tee. On every tee shot you hit, you can do that. And you can do it on every putt. The only time you can't do it is on the fairway when you can't move the ball. But yes, absolutely permissible in all tournament golf everywhere in the world. You can put that ball on the tee at any angle you want. No problem.
And the next question...
You can actually Yeah, sorry, Daniel.
No, no, it's okay. It's okay. My next question was, okay, now, you said something in the book when I was reading it that really struck me, is sometimes it doesn't look right, that alignment that you're talking about. It doesn't, my eyes are saying that that's not really the direction, that's not really where I'm going.
Yeah, well, it's such a deceptive game, isn't it? And when we all play, we all think, oh, yeah, that's, I'm aiming correctly, and then you'll get your friend Bob over there to come and have a look. Hey, Bob, how am I aiming? And he'll say, John, you're 10 yards right. And the problem is, if we've played a couple of rounds of golf, and maybe there's been a bit of water on the left-hand side, or maybe out of bounds right, we'll start to adjust our aim accordingly. And over one or two rounds, suddenly, instead of aiming 5 yards right, we're aiming 20 yards right. And I suppose that's the reason why pros practice afterwards. It's a cleansing method to get rid of how pressure has affected their swing or aim during the round. So yes, if you can aim one or two shots on the practice ground, just making sure the line's correct, your eye then will get used to it. But if you haven't done it for a while and you stand up to a square stance, you think, wow, I am so far out, that feels so uncomfortable, I can't possibly play golf like that, and they don't persevere with it. So just the occasional checkup, just to think, yeah, that's correct. So I know it feels a little bit odd, but I'm just going to stick with that for the next 30 balls. It's amazing how quickly you get used to it.
Interesting. John Huskisson, A Golf Swing You Can Trust is the name of it. It's at iTunes. That's where I found mine, and I have it right here on my iPad with pictures. Good pictures, too, by the way. I really
thank
like...
Thank you.
Yeah, very good.
Hey, did you see... Sorry, Daniel. I put a video link to my swing in the beginning of it. Have you pressed that yet?
No. No, I haven't.
Yes. At the beginning of the swing, because a friend of mine took a slow-motion video, and I thought, if I was a pupil and an amateur golfer, and I wanted to really listen to a guy talking, I'd want to know if he could do what he was talking about. So at the beginning, I've put my senior swing down in the video from YouTube, so you can see it there.
Excellent. That's really good. Okay, it's a Golf Swing You Can Trust. A Golf Swing You Can Trust. Author is John Huskisson, and we'll be back with him right after this because, you know, practicing in slow motion, I'm not sure that I can keep my balance. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels? Your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. There's going to be a demo day with TaylorMade at Kauai Lagoons Golf Club on the 14th of July, and you'll want to be there for that. So in the meantime, why don't we whet your appetite with a golf ball giveaway. What do you say? Let's give away some rocket balls from TaylorMade. All you have to be is the ninth caller at 808 808- 206-296-5467. I don't care where you are in the world. 808-296-5467. As long as you're listening live, we'll be able to take your call. And if you're the ninth caller, you win, and I'll send them to you. We're talking this morning with a gentleman from England. Are you in the Liverpool area right now?
Fortunately not. They have had the most incredibly bad stint of weather. I'm more parallel to Wimbledon, who struggled a bit this afternoon as Serena won a Wimbledon title. But it's we've had a really, really bad summer. Wettest June on all of all time, Danielle.
You've got...
The courses are saturated.
Really? Oh, so yep. How's Royal Lytham and St. Anne's going to do?
Well, there was a journalist who was popping up on his way to Scotland for the next tournament on the European Tour this week, and he popped into Lytham and St. Anne's to have a look. He said the rough's very thick, the fairways are green, it's not a conventional, normal sort of links course which you expect the ball to be running a long way and having to fire shots along the ground. It is much tougher test. It's wet, and it's going to be, we haven't got a great forecast, it's going to be a pretty tough week for them.
Wow. Okay, so we're scorching over here. We're getting these heat waves and these wildfires. And in the meantime, you're drenched.
Yeah, absolutely drenched.
Wow. All right. So we're going through, I was going through each lesson that's in A Golf Swing You Can Trust by John Huskisson. And here we go. I got to hitting through the shot, which to me, you know, if you're going to, you can't stop at the ball. You got to hit through the ball. And then you go into holding the finish and controlling the swing. That's lesson number 10. Lesson number 11 is trust the swing. And lesson number 12 is practice in slow motion. Now, you know, there's a lot of people who go like, okay, so why do I have to hold the finish? I've already hit the ball. So what does it matter? Can you explain that for those people?
Well, to a large extent, I agree with him. I actually write in the book, basically holding a finish can be counterproductive, because the golf swing is like an equation. If you have a bad backswing and then you try to finish in a beautiful position, I actually say in the book, what you're going to do is you're going to end up looking a great-looking hacker, because the two halves of the swing don't match up. If you've got a bad backswing, you've got to have a bit of an unorthodox finish to the swing. So just trying to stick a pretty finish there is just not going to work. It does if you've built some sort of fundamental mechanics that work, but just sticking a nice finish on the end of it, it just doesn't not going to work. And I think that's the reason we don't see many of them, because people have tried it and they don't bother with it because they know it really doesn't make them any better. But it's important if you can build nice mechanics on the way back. Then it is. Then it will help keep you more under control on the golf course.
Okay. So it all has to do with what you start with, because...
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, because if you have started junk, you're going to end up junk. It doesn't really...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why the fundamentals have to be built one on top of the other. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. It's a chain reaction. If you can start off simply, then it will have a tremendously positive effect on the next move. And consequently, if you can have a nice takeaway and you stood half decent for the ball, actually hitting the shot pretty straight. Fairly simple.
Fairly That's simple. You've got people going, oh, yeah, really?
Huh?
Now, lesson number 12 is practicing in slow motion.
Yeah.
How? Tell me, I haven't gotten there yet, so can you give us a little preview?
Yeah, of course. Basically, there's nobody in the planet who swings the club perfectly on the way back. So there's really a formula. If you've got a great backswing like a pro, you can afford to attack the ball pretty hard immediately at the start of the downswing and be pretty sure it's going to go straight. But if you're aligned incorrectly, maybe the club's aiming 20 yards right of the target or left, if you attack the ball fast, you're committed to that line and you're going to hit the ball inaccurately. So this period, what basically what I call a well-timed swing, the small period at the top where you almost pause and you have time to drop the club into the correct position before you start to accelerate. And so effectively, the worse your backswing, the more time you've got to give yourself and the slower you've got to make that transitional move. But really what I'm saying is, if you're you're trying to build some great fundamentals. Fantastic. Work on your grip. Work on the other things. But in tandem with that, let's work on some timing and some rhythm. And I was watching the tennis today. Serena's playing. You know, she's got a fantastic first service. But when she has to get her second service in play, the one thing she does is take power out of the action so she can hit gentle shots that are more likely to finish up in court. And it's the same for a golfer. So when I'm saying swing in slow motion, I'm basically saying, listen, build up a more of a one, rather than a one-dimensional power unit. Have some gentler swings you can use that can just get the ball in play if you're not sure about a particular drive and you're worried about the water out of bounds. Don't just leap up there and in panic blindly whack at it. Learn to swing smoothly. Learn to swing a little bit slower, and actually you'll find that your results are better. Although you might sacrifice a little bit of power while you're learning your good mechanics, you're going to get a lot more shots in play if you learn to swing within yourself. Give yourself a little bit of time. That's really what it's meaning, Danielle.
That's perfect, because when you started describing that, an LPGA player came to mind, Ai Miyazato. I saw her swing, and it was just perfect. You can watch on NBC, the U.S. Women's Open will be on 9 o'clock our time in Hawaii. So that's 3 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock Central. Just enjoy it. And you can learn a lot just observing and then try to like ingrain that in your mind. It's amazing what, you know, children pick it up by watching. So try to have that childlike mind in play when you're watching the golfers on television or if you get to attend an event. John Huskisson, A Golf Swing You Can Trust. Go to iTunes right now. It's free. It's great. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Not at all. We really appreciate being back, Danielle. So from very wet England.
Yes.
Appreciate being on there.
And you'll be back again. We'll talk some more, okay? I love talking with you. Thank you so much.
All right.
Aloha. And we are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to go and have some fun with Bogey Tees Off. We've been talking about golf balls. So this is written by Dottie Pepper and Scott Fuller, and they have a real purpose in mind here. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store, if you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical, across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Okay, and the U.S. Women's Open is underway, and Michelle Wee has teed off, and yeah, okay, I'm not going to tell you anymore because I know you want to watch it on television, right? Right. Suzanne Paterson is still in the lead, and Sandra Gall has moved up into second position. So has Na Wan Choi. She's at She's tied for third with Vicky Hurst and Inbee Park, and then the list goes on. And I'm not going to say anymore because, you know, we I know everybody says, I want to watch it on TV. Don't spoil the show. So you can also go to, if you need to know, lpgascoring.com. It's a little slow. It's not as quickly as you'd like it to be. It's going to be behind a bit. On television, it'll be much more immediate for you. I told you we're going to go talk to a gentleman who created Bogey Tees Off, and he's standing by on the phone. Before we bring him in, I just thought it was so much fun. Walter Ewan thinks it's really fun, too. He's from Kaneohe, and he won the golf balls. Congratulations, Walter. I think we need to do it again. I mean, we didn't do it last weekend. We were so busy. So I think we need to do it again. Just, you know, to get the blood rolling. So you can go have a good time today. The number is 808-296-5467. You are the ninth caller, and you win TaylorMade Pentas, Penta Pearls. All right. Okay, let's go right to Bogey Tees Off, a lesson about being truthful. Okay. Written by Dottie Pepper and Scott Fuller. And Scott Fuller is with us this morning. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having us on the show.
Absolutely. Actually, it's good afternoon, right?
That's true. Good afternoon here. It's very hot on the East Coast. So.
Is it still hot? How hot is it?
Oh, I think we're close to 100 today. Unlike the rain that John was saying they were having over in London, we're extreme heat over here.
So. Isn't that something? I mean, it's total opposites.
It's and I talked to Dottie the other day, and she said it was just smoking hot and at Kohler, so I know the U.S. They're hoping it's going to cool off there too today.
I just got word that it cooled off by 20 degrees.
Oh, but it was sweltering.
Yeah, really, truly.
Not fun at all.
I can't imagine. I was asking Ron Syrak, at what point does the USJ determine that it's too hot to play golf?
Exactly.
Apparently, it doesn't happen. You know, it's never happened before that it's too hot.
That's right. That's when golf doesn't become fun, which it should be.
It's not fun for me if it's 98 degrees, but it feels like 115 because of the humidity. I'm just going to melt, you know. You know, and then we talk about slow play. How can you be quick when it's that hot? You're like molasses. Your brain's not functioning. The brain is the first organ to get dehydrated. Okay,
that's right. Yeah, when you're borderline heat stroke, it's a little hard to stroke the club. So.
It's hard to think. It's hard.
That's
what
right.
club
Absolutely.
Am I going to? Am I picking up the club? Am I walking? It's. I think Lexi Thompson said it after the first round. She said they went 3 hours before they made the turn, and she didn't realize it had been 3 hours. And you know, it's like because. You're just so hot, and you're just moving through this massive water.
There's nothing you can do to escape.
No. And just got to drink water. So they've all been drinking one bottle of water. Somebody was drinking Pedialyte.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so in case you need to rehydrate, Pedialyte is a good idea.
No, I'm sitting in the cool air conditioning right now. So.
Okay. Now, where did this idea come from, the Bogey Tees Off?
Well, Bogey, I wrote it as a movie script about 12 years ago. I worked in film and television and then moved back to the East Coast and was still pitching some ideas. And I had written it as an animated feature film and basically wrote the first draft and then let it sit on the shelf and collect dust until I had my son, who is now just turned 8. And then when you're, as most parents know, when you're reading all these books every night, putting them to sleep, we would take turns. And, you know, after so many Clifford the Big Red Dog books, I'm like, you know, I wrote that script. I bet that would turn into a great kids book series.
Huh?
And one of those kind of bucket list things, you know, things in your life. I've been in construction and real estate as a builder and developer, and with the economy and everything, I'm kind of going, you know, it might not be a bad thing to get something else going on the side. And I went to a good friend of mine, whose brother's a big pretty successful agent in Hollywood, and I said, you know, Bobby, I've got this idea, and pitched it to him, and he said, well, forget my brother, you know, let me run with it.
Ooh.
And it was, you know, the premise of the story is, you know, following, you know, and again, for your listeners, it's basically Bogey is a disgruntled range ball who is tired of his dead-end job and wants to be on the pro tour. So whether it's loosely autobiographical for me or, you know, a lot of us out there who aren't really doing exactly what we want to do with our lives. And it was funny because my buddy Bobby was just starting an agency, a talent management company. And so that was something he was passionate about and wanted to do his whole life. And with that in mind, he said, well, let me run with it. And kind of taking a model that his brother had used, he had, you know, getting someone, a celebrity, to get on board the project and help us grow. So it just so happened, it was almost a year ago this month when Dottie was congressional doing the U.S. Open there, and then she came down to Virginia Beach to a first tee golf clinic, and he ended up getting a meeting through some mutual friends with Dottie and pitched her the concept, and she practically fell out of her chair, and she said, I love it. This is great. And with her passion, just like you and Ron were talking about earlier in the show, she is all about the game of golf, juniors getting kids and families involved in it and giving something back. And basically what bogey stands for, you know, the majority of us in life are bogey players, as well as I'm certainly speaking for myself on the golf course. You know, there's a small percentage of players who are actually scratch players.
Yeah, 99.9% of us are bogeys.
Exactly. So, you know, and we'll hit a cut. And I love the golf, you know, just in listening to John talk, and it's so funny because I was playing last week, and it's just a small little adjustment makes just such a big difference. And for most people, you know, to be honest with you, my big sport was basketball and surfing, and I always played golf. I've actually learned to play golf at congressional. But just the final adjustment, this minuscule adjustment you can make, it's going to have such a tremendous outcome. And, you know, when you take that into consideration and the whole, you know, what bogey stands for with his red stripe and just in life, with, you know, we're all working and trying to make it with something, you know, that's holding us back maybe to a degree. And with him, it just so happens to be he's on the practice room.
Yeah, it so happens that it's a red stripe. He's trying to change his color.
Right. Well, and change his identity because he thinks that if he were to do that, then all of a sudden all his problems and life in the world would be resolved. And obviously he learns that that's not the case. But I think that's true with all of us in life, that we always just think, hey, if I can just do this differently, I'll have a different outcome.
If I could change my nose, if I could just, you know, get this facelift, if I could just, you know, get this amount sucked out of my waistline, all these things, all of a sudden life will be a dream. Okay, let me just tell Norm Kitashima, you are the ninth caller. I know you've been waiting to hear. From Mililani, you are the winner of the TaylorMade Penta Pearls. I love the name of those golf balls, which is what Bogey wanted to be. He wanted a Penta Pearl so he could be on the professional tour.
Exactly. So, but no, it, you know, and it's just like the Hawthorne's book, the Scarlet, you know, the Scarlet Letter A. We all have that, and just being a red stripe, and that's what, you know, thinks is preventing him. But when he really finds out the truth and the rules of golf book, you know, size is irrelevant. As long as you meet the right size and weight requirements, it doesn't matter what color ball or what you are. And that's true with life. So I think with the parallels and getting back to it, Dottie was, you know, just enthusiastic about the project and what we wanted to do. And the fact that we're self-published has enabled us to partner up with different charities. So each book, which we're going to eventually do an 18-book series correlating with, obviously, 18, you know, holes on the course, but each book will have a life lesson that we will tell. And we're partnering up with charities. Like this first book, we're partnered up with the First Tee of Hampton Roads, which is our local First Tee chapter, and then also the New York Golf State Foundation. So we're giving 20% of the net proceeds back and splitting between the two. And then the second one, we've just been finalizing an agreement with the LPGA Foundation. So the second book in the series will be, you know, contributing to their organization.
That's great. We're going to take a break and talk a bit about how the book assists nonprofits like the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, where you could get a bogey teased off book and help the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. So we'll be back with Scott Fuller, co-author, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club. Yeah. Hoi Pu
Poo Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poi Poo Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poi Poo Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinning do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels? Your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. We're talking with Scott Fuller, co-author of Bogey Tees Off, A Lesson About Being Truthful. This is a fun book. Your kids are going to like this. You won't mind reading them the book over and over again. You might want to start with a couple pages at a time with some of the younger children. But I really, Scott Fuller,
yes.
I enjoyed the part where he's looking for the can of spray paint to take that red stripe out of his, you know, problem area. Right, he goes home, and what does mom say right away? She says, that pet divot of yours has been up on my clean couch again. And it's such a great picture. This little divot just has to jump off the couch, and of course it's left a stain and all
that. Grass stains all over the house. Typical kid with, you know, their pets and teaching lessons and having fun. So.
Yeah. And then
we've got a lot more fun characters in store, so I can tease you with that.
Oh, good. Because it is, and he's got all these cohorts that are just a little bit off, as you know, the club that's broken, the club head, right?
Yeah.
It's nice that you're including, you know, nothing's perfect in here.
Well, and I think that reflects life, obviously, and everything, you know, with golf right now, and I know the numbers, and that's a big topic all across the industry as far as how do we get people back involved in playing. And I think there's so much emphasis on trying to, you know, have the perfect score, the perfect swing, and it's like, hey, guys, remember, this is a game, and it's fun. And what other sport can you go out and not really kill yourself physically and have fun and enjoy it? And like we always say, when we're out playing, we're like, hey, it could be worse. We could be sitting in an office right now. You know, so forget, I mean, obviously we want to keep score and have fun and play games, but don't make it so intimidating. And I think that's just showing you through the book and the characters that we're all not, you know, we're far from perfect. And that's obviously a message in life. And, you know, and with John the Ball Washer eventually comes through and, you know, teaches these lessons of, you know, just go out and do it and follow your dreams and have fun. And that's the main point. And then with what his character is, as being, you know, kind of Bogey, the multi-dimensional character, that he's like an ambassador of golf, a student, an instructor, a philanthropist. And we're trying to, our business model is encompass these things. And, you know, working with different charities and just like the one in your backyard there, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, we formed a board of advisors, and Mary B. Porter King is our first advisor or on the board with Renee Powell, and actually Brian Wickham's coming on board. And these are pretty influential and big, you know, names in golf. And with Mary B. Porter King, we're kind of equating Bogey, the book, and this is just another distribution point, which obviously you can purchase the book through our website at bogeyteesoff.com or through the Golf Junior State or Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, which they're using it as a fundraising tool. Just like we kind of equate it with the Girl Scout cookie model. You know, you buy a box of cookies for $3.50, and I think 18% of that goes back to the actual troop, where we're selling the books to them wholesale, and they're basically marking them up 100% and making a nice, sizable, contribution when they buy the book. They're getting the money and can benefit from it. So we want to get back to golf and help build the game and make it fun, because there's not really, or there never really has been, a fun character like this for junior golf. And we really think that if we put a fun face on it, make it fun, approachable to families and friends, and, you know, we can give back and basically, you know, teach lessons that are applicable on and off the course. And that's what's so unique about the game of golf.
Yeah, of course, for adults, you know, when they're maybe after they've read and everybody's fallen asleep, there's a nice little glossary of golf terms. And I like the, what is the, there's one, the hacker, also chopper, duffer, just a bad golfer.
That's right. Well, again, getting back to, like, Dottie, we always say, you know, I had this concept and bringing her, she claims to be our golf geek, you know, in-house. So, but she's, it's just such a pleasure to work with, and what she has added to this process, you know, and including the autograph pages, which was something, you know, it's almost like, remember your yearbook in high school, we thought, wouldn't it be fun to put an autograph section in there, a couple pages, so when these kids, they can buy them at the tournament, you know, and take it and get the pro signatures and have this, you know, or mom and dad who are at a tournament, they can pick one up and bring it back home as a gift and give it to the kids, you know, with some signatures on it.
And the very back, you've got the tee box with discussion topics for parents and instructors.
Exactly. So, and especially doing the some of the first tee clinics when they're doing them with the kids that are coming through, you know, or even as a parent, it's amazing to see the dialogue that will be created. You know, from we always say, people ask us, what are the age range for this book? And we say 5 to 105. I've got my grandmother's getting ready to turn 106 this month.
Wow. But,
you know, there are lessons in here, and we've written it for children, as well as there's some adult humor thrown in there, too. But you don't necessarily have to be a golfer to enjoy this book. It's just like, you know, with SpongeBob, it's a sponge at the bottom of the sea. Well, it's Bogey, who happens to be in a country club called Scooter Pines with all these different characters. But there's still a universal story. You know, and that, and just getting the point across to kids and these positive messages, and obviously getting them interested in the game of golf.
Yeah, and he, you know, it's cute how he goes through the changes. He gets depressed when he's told that he can't, and he tries to find a way around it, and not being honest about things. But the one thing that really, really confused me at the very beginning of the book was the International Range Ball Association Employee Training Manual. Good
well,
shots.
That's right, because, yes. Well, it's funny you say that, because, you know, where he works at the range, obviously they want bad golfers because that's good for business. So they want people to keep coming back, and their manual shows them what a good shot is, which would be for the range ball is a hook or a slice, which obviously we know in golf we're trying to prevent those.
Mm-hmm.
And a bad shot is a fade or a straight or a draw, which is a perfect shot in the world of golf, because for them, bad golfers mean this. So, you know, in the parallel, I was kind of comparing, you know, you're kind of getting a little heavy, but, you know, capitalism versus socialism. So there's some little messages that are woven in there that are very subtle. But, there's so many fun examples and potential for what we're doing. In addition, I don't know if you happen to see in the front of the book, I've created, I'm calling it golf ball art, where I've taken colored golf balls and arranged them in different patterns. But I did one of the American flag that were actually partnered up with the Navy SEAL Foundation.
It's nice.
Locally in our area, where part of the proceeds of the sale of that poster will go to help the family of fallen soldiers, of SEALs particularly. And then also we're partnered up with the Folds of Honor, Dan Rooney's outfit,
mm-hmm.
which do a tremendous job for the families and children giving away scholarships. And I've created a poster that's out of golf balls with their logo. And actually our Christmas book that'll be coming out this fall, we're partnered up with them. So part of the proceeds will go to help their foundation and the families of wounded or soldiers or coming back.
Mm-hmm. And where can we get the book?
Right now, the best place is, of course, on our website, which is bogeyteesoff.com. I know if you're in Hawaii, Mary B. Porter King's Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, you can buy them from her. And part of the money, I believe, it's 50%, is going back to the Association here in Hawaii. And then Amazon, you can obviously buy them there as well.
You can get them at Amazon, too. But we can go to bogeyteesoff.com. And if we want to get them from the organization that is going to receive the added money, we'd go straight to that organization, I imagine.
That's correct. Like New York State Golf Foundation is selling them. And then some of the first tees, which another distribution we've discovered, and like kind of the Girl Scout cookie model, we're also doing fundraising events. For example, our local first tee here, we're doing a book drive. So we're going to businesses and organizations and individuals who are purchasing the books at a wholesale cost. And then we're putting a commemorative sticker in there, which then the books are donated to the first tee and handed out to all the kids that are participating at the clinic. So they actually get to bring, you know, take something home and then have those, the tee box at the back, a discussion, you know, section to where they can talk about, you know, personal things that may be happening in their lives that, hey, is, you know, sometimes we don't take time to sit down and really talk them out. And through Bogey and what he's trying to do with his life in dealing with his imperfection of a red stripe or being a range ball, it's amazing, you know, some of the discussions and questions you get from curious little minds and golfers that, you know, that are dealing with things at school or maybe a bully issue, you know. So touching them and making a difference, I know Dottie and I are real pleased, and we've gotten some fantastic, you know, book reports or just little things that have been sent to us from kids that have read it and just how it's touched their lives. And some things that, I mean, really that just bring tears to your eyes and really move you. And like, you know, like we said, part of what we're doing is, hey, if we can touch some hearts and change some lives through the game of golf, and, you know, that's what this is all about, and doing it for the right reasons. And we've got a Bogey mascot that we've had made that has been to some of the signings, and just the smiles and the people that want to get their picture taken with them. So we've got a lot of fun, interesting things going on, and we're working on getting Bogey to some of the tournaments, and so that's on our agenda, as well as getting Dottie was at the Women's Open this week doing a signing, and we were in, you know, Olympic Park a couple weeks ago doing a book signing at the U.S. Open. So we're slowly getting it out there and just letting this thing organically develop, and we want him to be the face of junior golf.
Excellent. So when are you going to make it into an animated movie?
That's in, you know, in time. We'll let's just say that. So I would like to see that, and that's, like I said, that's how it was initially written. So I think if Bogey does what we want him to do, that will definitely happen.
That will follow. Well, it can be a cartoon in the morning. There, some of them are so terrible. This would be fun.
Yeah. Well, I think there's room for it, so we're working on it. Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was just at the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association page, and I can't find where we could click and order it, but you can always contact them.
I think they were, I don't know if she actually had them up on the website yet, but I know she does have them, so just call their number, and someone definitely will be able to help you.
Yeah, and they're very helpful at the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, HSJGA.
Yeah, I know Mary. And Mary B. is such a sweetheart.
Isn't she?
Oh, she's tremendous.
Yeah.
She's just incredible.
She was so gentle with me. She was one of my first guests when I started the show back in 1999. And I wasn't comfortable pronouncing Babe Zaharias's name. And she goes, she corrected me, or she jumped in so that it was correct. And she goes, it takes a while, Danielle. But I'm still having trouble with all the names. That's the beauty of the game of golf. It's global. And we get to know.
You can cough a little when you say it. So. Like you have something caught in your throat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that doesn't work when you're on the radio and you want to do it.
No, right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott Fuller, Bogey Tees Off. Thanks for being on the show. It's time for us to wrap it up.
Thanks so much for having me, Daniel.
Absolutely. You too. Aloha. And thank you to our sponsors for making the golf club possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature, the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, ancient places of worship, Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. You need something made out of sheet metal. I bet you didn't think of Alakai Mechanical. No, they'll do it. They'll design it. They'll custom fabricate it, whether it's a kitchen, stainless steel counter, or roof. Okay? So get in touch with Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection. For property threat, risk assessment, protection for your home, your business, for your concert, for your special event, for your kids' graduation party, get the STAR team on your property. STAR protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Avance Salon. Color, cut, silkening technology, extensions, manicures, pedicures. Take care of your feet. You walk on them all the time. It's good for you. Whether you're conservative or avant-garde, it's avancé. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.